From the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're now on day 6 of the 8-day mystagogical Eucharistic catechesis that the Church gives us every Easter season so that we might live, so that we might come fully alive with the risen life of the Lord Jesus. And I can already see it. Compared to 7 days ago, you're all so much more alive. Right? It's not routine. It's not just going through the motions, because this just happens to be the gospel reading of Thursday of the third week of Easter. This is a loving itinerary that the Lord gives us to bring us far more deeply into the heart of the mystery of mysteries. But for this to happen, we've really got to accept it with faith. Now, none of us is here because we think that at Mass we consume just simple bread and wine. We believe that this is really Jesus. But we will spend eternity entering more deeply into the reality of God's presence here. And it's important for us to take advantage of every opportunity the Lord gives to bring us to structure our entire life on this reality. Because once we get this, everything changes. Once we begin to recognize that here we meet God, we listen to God, we touch God, we consume God, and through that mysterious process of physical digestion, God comes into every cell of our body. God invades our soul. And so when we're able to meet the Lord here and really allow his risen life to transform us from the inside out, it changes the entire world. This is where the real revolution happens, that in transforming us, God is changing the whole world. So we might not have gotten much sleep last night. We still receive God today. Someone that we care for might be suffering. We receive God today to help us in that compassion. We might be worried about family members who are fallen away from the faith. We come into communion with the one who loves them more than we do. We may be beating ourselves up over mistakes that we made, stupid things that we said yesterday, who knows? We still receive God. And real growth in the Christian life is dependent on real growth in living a truly Eucharistic life. finding in Jesus here on the altar, the beginning and the end, the source and the summit, the Alpha and the Omega of our entire existence, that we draw all our life from here, and that we seek to unite everything we do and are here. That's why the Church gives us the perfect 8-day catechesis as we meditate profoundly on the eternal 8th day, which is what we mark during these 50 days of Easter. That's why throughout this Eucharistic discourse, Jesus is constantly going back between two realities. First reality is that we have that it is his body and blood, and we have to gnaw on him and drink him. Second reality is we have to have faith in it. And so Jesus is constantly leading on a deeper catechesis, making sure, why are you following me? Is it just because you want me to do something for you and give you another free meal? Or is it because you've seen the signs and are beginning to believe the signs? Are you actually doing the work of God? And Jesus simplifies it. This is the work of God. Believe in the one he sent. And if we really believe in the Lord, we're going to believe in what he said and did. Again, today, tomorrow, and Saturday, he's going to punctuate all of this by challenging our faith. Right after Jesus was doing this, it's excised in the 8 specific readings we've got from the 6th chapter of St. John. But they're saying, who is this man saying he's going to give us his flesh and blood to eat it? Isn't this Joseph's, the carpenter's son? This, how can he say, I've come down from heaven? What is he talking about? So Jesus gets to the subject of faith. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. I will raise him on the last day. So the first thing we've got to grasp is that God acts first. He gives the grace of faith. He seeks to draw us to his Son. And what Jesus was trying to say to all those who are hearing him was, you've already received the down payment of the grace of faith that you need. My Father has drawn you to me today. He drew you to me across the Sea of Galilee where I fed the 5,000. The Father has drawn you. It is written in the prophets, Jesus goes on, they shall all be taught by God. But how does God teach? Many different ways, but Jesus specifies 2. He says, everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. First thing is to actively listen to the Father's teaching, not to take it for granted, to put ourselves in those places where we can hear the Father's voice. That's why prayer is so essential. It's why taking sacred scripture is so essential. It's why listening to those who have been filled with the wisdom of God is so essential, especially the saints. But we listen to God. But it's not just listening. It's not just satisfying our curiosity. It's learning from the Lord. Allowing that teaching to become consequential, to listen as words to be done. Not just as information, but as performation. Things that form us through and through. And once we recognize that God the Father is drawing us, once we allow ourselves docilely to be taught by God, listening to him and learning from him, then we've got the preconditions to be able to say, even though it should never cease to blow our minds, that God is going to give himself to us under the appearances of simple bread and wine. And that if we eat this bread and drink this chalice, we will live forever. That a simple action has that type of a consequence. That just like Naaman went down to the dirty waters of the Jordan and washed 7 times and was completely cured to the skin of a little baby. So our receiving Jesus even just once is that consequential. But in order for that to happen, we have to receive with faith. It's not just the mechanical, what we might describe as magical, consumption of the host. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, said that those who eat and drink unworthily eat and drink condemnation upon themselves. St. Thomas Aquinas, in his Laudation Salvatorum, the sequence for Corpus Christi, sumunt boni, sumunt mali, that both good and bad take up this sacrifice, some to life, some to death. And he is shocked that the same action can lead to totally disparate consequences. When we don't receive genuinely with faith, when we don't receive as we ought to, which is why what's going on with Amoris Laetitia and the confusion around Amoris Laetitia, which will all be resolved next Tuesday, which is why that's so important for us to get it and for us to be able to teach clearly. Because if people receive the Lord without faith, it can have an incredibly negative consequence, just as it's meant to have the greatest positive consequence in human existence. This whole experience of being led by God more and more into this mystery, hearing Jesus' voice and learning from him and structuring our entire life on this reality, that his flesh is what gives life to the world, his flesh is what imparts his divine Zoe to us, and as long as we consume him with faith and enter into a holy communion with him, that holy embrace will never end, and not even death can extinguish it. This is how this act leads to eternal life. To help us to learn how to be led by the Lord, we have this incredible scene in the Acts of the Apostles from today's first reading. It's one of my favorite scenes in the Acts of the Apostles, and it's one that gets recapitulated over and over and over and over again. And it's key for us to see that the Lord often uses us as Deacon Phillips precisely in order to help people come to the faith. The angel spoke to Philip, "Get up and head south on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, the desert route." He was going out into the desert. So he got up and set out. And that's when he sees this Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot. And the Ethiopian eunuch had probably, like so many of the polytheists of the ancient world, they were blown away by the morality of the Jews, by the order, by the structure. In the midst of social chaos, not to mention personal chaos, they recognized that the Jews lived in a different way, and they were fascinated. And so a lot of them would come up for the feasts. The whole world, it would seem, would come there. By the millions, would come to Jerusalem. And they would go up in a sense as the God-fearers in the court of the Gentiles, just to notice people acting on the search for God. This was obviously a man of means. He was returning home with a scroll. I can't imagine how much a scroll would cost of the prophet Isaiah. It was really only in the synagogues and the temple. For somebody to be returning with his own scroll, somewhat unbelievable. And then he gets to the passage about the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. And he's pondering there in the chariot. Are you fascinated by this passage such that this would change your life forever? Out of all the passages he could be reading that would be leading him in, this wouldn't be my number one on my billboard chart of great scriptural lines. Like a sheep led to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will tell of his posterity? Life is taken from him from the earth. And he's got to be asking himself, is this what the Jews sign up for? Is this why so many come for the feasts? How inscrutable is this? So his first question is the prophet, this holy one, writing these unbelievable words? Was he speaking about himself? So is he speaking about somebody else? Who's he talking about? He entered on in. He was allowing himself to be led by God. He was listening. And when you read aloud at this time always. So he was listening. And he was seeking to learn, but he needed God to teach. And that's when God says to Philip, go up and join that chariot. I'm not sure if you caught Sister Bam's verb that she used, but he ran. He ran in the middle of the desert. It wasn't much extra action there. It wasn't like catching up to an 18-wheeler on a 7-lane highway. The chariot probably would have stopped seeing somebody walk along that desert route. But with zeal, Philip ran. And he asked the simple question, do you understand what you're reading? Do you grasp it? How can I unless somebody instructs? St. Paul would play with that so much. How can others learn the truth unless someone proclaims it to them? How can I understand unless someone instructs me? And God wants to use us as instruments for the instruction of others. So he got on in, he heard the passage, and Philip, in response to the question about whom the prophet is speaking, about himself or about somebody else, said, both. But it was mainly about Jesus. So he opened his mouth, and beginning with this as a launching pad, proclaimed Jesus to him. Because of the docility of this Ethiopian eunuch, an incredible miracle happened. Remember, where are they? They're in the desert. And all of a sudden, there's a body of water there. I'd encourage you to take the desert route. You're not really going to find much water. So much did God care that the one who had created water out of nothing puts water there in the desert, right along this man's route, the same way that he had put Philip there, along the man's route. Look, there is water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? The chariot stopped. They both went down into the water. He was baptized. And when they came out, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch was filled with joy and continued on his way, continued in his life with the joy of his baptism, the joy of understanding that he was now a disciple of that suffering servant about whom Isaiah was speaking. There are going to be so many times in our lives, sisters, in which the Lord is going to put people, and we need to be aware that the Father is drawing those people to us. To the Father is sometimes going to make bodies of water appear. When you get those phone calls from somebody who's afraid, maybe it's Jesse. Ask every once in a while, especially when somebody's struggling. Can we just take a step back here for a second? What do you think led you? Who do you think led you to want to call this hotline? Who do you think is really behind our conversation right here? That I was born at this particular time, and that I received my vocation, and I'm not even going to tell you all the ways that that could have been diverted, but all the ways that God has prepared me for this conversation with you right now. There's a huge prehistory, because God wanted us to have this conversation, and for you courageously, heroically, to allow him to help you now, because he wants to. And that body of water may just be a listening ear. That body of water might be some practical help. But the Lord will provide, because he's constantly trying to lead others to him through human modalities. Ultimately through his Son, who enters into us with his risen life, makes us one body, one spirit in him, and sends us out as his heart, as his hands, as his ear, as his feet, to a world that so much needs him in order to enter into that same life. This is what our faith is about. And today we thank the Lord for having taught us and led us here. We thank the Lord for all that he's spoken. We ask him for us to learn from him. And in a special way, we reiterate our faith today in what Jesus is doing here, the greatest of all miracles. And if God does this for us every day, please never forget that anything else we will ever ask for is small.